News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
The world is this morning and yesterday digesting the tariffs imposed by US President Donald Trump. The EU yet to announce a response. Here to discuss what might be the best approach from here on in, we are joined by Dan Mulhall, former ambassador to the United States, to UK and Germany. Dan, I suppose obvious first question, what should Europe do next?
Well, I think Europe is probably doing the right thing by taking a breath and trying to figure out what's the best way of dealing with this somewhat irrational situation. I mean, if we were dealing with a rational set of proposals from the Americans, then you could go and say, well, look, maybe we should talk about X, Y, and Z. But, you know, Donald Trump says Europe imposes 39% tariffs on the United States. It doesn't, right? So I don't know how you can negotiate in a situation where claims are being made on the American side that simply can't be stood up. This is not a reciprocal tariff response.
Yeah. How do you negotiate with a rational?
Yeah, how do you negotiate with people who just won't see sense, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's wise for the EU to bide its time, to think about, to watch the markets and how they respond and what pressure might be generated internally in the United States to maybe for the administration to have another look at this policy to see if it's really what they want to do. What they've done is they've taken a sledgehammer to the global trading system. Basically, since the Second World War, there's been a kind of gradual freeing up of global trade. And now the Americans have just turned their backs on that and imposed these swinging tariffs. I mean, you know, the average tariff in Europe is 5%. I mean, so in that context, 20% is a whopper. So I think the EU has to wait for the moment when it's most effective to announce its retaliatory measures and don't implement them for a month or so and give time for a negotiation to take place. But I think ultimately a negotiation will only take place when the Americans see negative consequences coming down the tracks for them. Because yeah. I don't think they're going to negotiate just out of the goodness of their hearts. I mean, if they really believe that this is the way to go, then, you know, sweet reason is not going to change their minds. I think you have to sort of, at some stage, deploy a bit of a stick in order to get where you want to get to, which is, I'm convinced that if the EU and the US sat around the negotiating table with trade negotiators facing each other, talking about these things, that we could find solutions that would please both sides, that would minimize the tariff impositions on Europe, and that would give the United States some concessions that it could then sell to its people as breakthroughs for the US.
The late communications genius Tom Savage had a saying, don't just stand there, do nothing. And that's kind of what you're saying the EU should do at the moment. Pause.
Yeah, I mean,
reflect.
For the moment, yes. Yeah. I mean, like, for you know, I think I'm talking about a matter of weeks. I don't think it can sit there for months and simply take this complete restructuring of global trade.
And Trump doesn't respect weakness. That's the other point, isn't it?
Yes. We've seen with Canada and Mexico that Canada and Mexico standing up to the United States then led to, you know, phone calls and, you know, more accommodating language being used and so on. That may not solve the problem, but I think we certainly should try the softly approach for a few weeks and see if we can find some way of getting through to the people within the Trump team. But ultimately, I don't think that's going to work. And I think there will have to be some kind of threat of retaliation in order to bring the Americans to the negotiating table.
And do you think they will? I mean, you asked a question yourself, rhetorical question. How do you negotiate with a rattlesnake? I mean, is negotiation, like, is that going to happen? Will they negotiate? I mean, that's what would normally happen in these situations, but these are not normal times.
Well, if they don't negotiate, they don't negotiate, and you can't negotiate with people who don't want to negotiate with you. But my sense is that there will eventually be discussions at senior official level between people in the commission who are very experienced at one thing, and that is trade negotiations. They do it all the time. So they're very, very practiced at this, in this area. And the United States has a team in the US Trade Representative's office. I dealt with them myself when I was there, and I know them, some of them well, and so forth. So there are people who are professional trade negotiators.
There are, but sorry to cut across you, Dan. Is Trump talking to them? Is he listening to them? Or is he listening to the Harrod Lutnicks exclusively?
No, he's not. I mean, obviously he's not listening to them, because I don't think they would have designed a policy of this nature. So, but the point is, at some stage, it may be that the consequences start to hit home, and then the United States starts to think about maybe we should. I mean, already I think Lutnick yesterday made some comments that suggested there was an openness to doing deals with different countries and different entities. And remember, the European Union is a smaller economy overall than the United States, but it's not that much smaller. And therefore, the EU does have a lot of clout.
But Trump Trump has an irrational hatred of the EU.
He does. He does. That's one of these unfortunate things. He does seem to think the EU was set up for some kind of nefarious purpose that's against the United States. In fact, the European Union was set up largely at the behest of the United States, because the US wanted to see the kind of cooperation that the EU epitomizes. And that was part of the sort of post-war.
It was. I agree.
And the trouble is, Trump is now cutting through that post-war order, not just on the trade side, but also in terms of security, where European countries no longer believe they can trust the United States to guarantee the security.
Two really quick things, just briefly, Dan. Could Congress step in? Is that a possibility, do you think?
Well, we saw there yesterday that four Republicans joined the Democrats in supporting a bill that would block any tariffs on Canada and Mexico. That's the first sign that there may be people within the Republican camp in the Senate in particular who have doubts about this and might be willing to stand up. Mike Pence issued a strong statement as well condemning the tariff policy. So I think it's possible that there are enough people, but it's difficult for people in the Republican Party to stand up against Donald Trump, because they get dog's abuse for it from the Trump fan base.
Okay, is pharma out of the woods here? We got away with the Irish the pharma sector obviously got away with it on Monday night. Get away with it sounds a bit glib, but you know what I mean. They were exempt from tariffs. Can that last, do you think?
I'm not sure. He seems to have a bee in his bonnet about pharma, that we stole their pharma. I mean, you know, I looked up the figures. For example, Pfizer employs 81,000 people around the world and only 5,000 in Ireland. More than half of Pfizer's revenues come from outside the United States. So you know, Pfizer is still a very big company in the United States. But he has a bee in his bonnet about pharma. So, you know, you would have to fear that pharma might be on the target list. The only thing that might hold that back is that his advisors may have said to him, look, the price of medicine is very sensitive matter in America, or prices are already very high by European standards. Do you really want to hike up, you know, essential drug costs for hardworking Americans by 20% by imposing big tariffs on pharma? That might save the pharma sector, but given the way he seems to be obsessed with pharma, you know, you'd have to fear that there might be something coming down the tracks on the pharma sector that might be further damaging for Ireland.
Daniel Mulhall, former ambassador to the US, UK and Germany. Thank you for talking to News Talk Breakfast.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.
This morning.